Welcome to Radio Renegade with your host, Christian from Philly, and Batman, brought to you by World Generation Network, and in part by WrestleCorp.com. And now, Radio Renegade.
And welcome to Radio Renegades, and I am your host, as always, Christian from Philly, the legend champion of the IWC, and joining me right now is my co-host, and my next opponent to face me for the legend champion himself. Please give a wonderful applause to Batman.
Tough crowd,
but I'm... Well, silence.
I don't need any fans when you're as great as I am. That's all you need, baby. I'm my number one fan. That's all I care about. No one's opinion matters but mine. I'm smooth like butter. Don't mess with the guy. Ooh, yeah.
All right, man. Before we get the show on the road, we have two things we need to discuss right now. And it's come to my attention that right now there's going to be a shakeup after WrestleMania between April 15th and April 16th. And Batman, the question of the day is, who do you think needs to go to Raw to SmackDown, and who do you think needs to go to SmackDown to Raw desperately?
I think one of the obvious answers is Becky Lynch going to Raw. And yes. I think if Ronda Rousey is still going to stay, I would like to see her go to SmackDown because she's already gone through everybody through Raw. And if she's really, like, you know, the dedicated, I could see her, especially with the new Fox deal that they're doing, Ronda Rousey would be a good addition to SmackDown and that roster for the women. Other than that, I would like for them to switch anybody, honestly. I'm down for them to just shake up every single superstar, you know. The Ronda and the Becky are the definite, but I don't mind the Revival going to SmackDown or the Usos going to Raw. I believe they're in SmackDown, right? Like, I wanted just a crazy mix right now. If Seth Rollins goes to SmackDown, I can see that. Because Seth Rollins has been on Raw for a while, right? So,
yeah.
I think they just need, I hope that they don't make this shakeup just like low level. I want big major stars like they used to do, like when John Cena went to Raw, you know, or something like that. So that would make sense.
How many people do you think they're going to shake up this year?
I would like to say, because of their stacked roster, at least 10. You know, 10 I think would be a good amount. Give me at least a good four main stars, or at least three, because I know you can't switch out, because each brand has their few or handful of main stars, you know. They probably each have their own, let's say, five. So at least three of them on each, and then the rest of the six or seven, not lower, but, you know, mid-card, lower, things like that. And adding some more from people from 205, maybe I would like to see some people go to 205, or maybe, I don't know, would you like the 205 to still continue?
Well,
I just answered my question, because there's so much going on around SmackDown. If 205 stopped, those guys would get lost in the mix, like, completely. So I appreciate them. You know, look, they got a lot of shows that they got to work on.
The last question before we go to the second topic. Do you think there's going to be controversy because the events will take place at Montreal? Do you think there's going to be controversy?
What event? Oh, the shakeup.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I wasn't aware of that. I don't know how I missed that. I would like to think so. You know, that'd be a good place to take advantage of a shakeup or something. Like, if you're gonna do something that's like a ooh ah kind of moment, Montreal would be a place like that. Like, you know, a Chicago or a New York, like Madison. You know, those iconic places. So yeah, I would hope so. I would hope so that they would do something not just a shakeup superstar wise, but like a shakeup and like, wow, this is something different and something new in the WWE.
Now, here's the controversial question. Do you think Vince McMahon will show up?
No, I think he'll show up.
A Montreal.
Why wouldn't he? Yeah, why wouldn't he?
Controversial. He's gonna get booed out of the building.
That don't matter. That's what he likes.
Yeah. I live for it, pal. Controversy.
This is also
cash.
Does this also spoiler that maybe Kevin Owens might return?
And that
this
would add to the shakeup.
That
could
right,
add
that's
to the
great.
Shakeup.
Yeah. All right. So the second matter is this. We all know Dean Ambrose is leaving. In fact, we have a special segment for him later on in the show. But we'll get to that later. But we all know he's leaving. And the question is, instead of Nia Jax, and if it's not Triple H, I feel that Dean Ambrose should get one more shot at the IC title at WrestleMania against Finn Balor. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, I've never seen a one-on-one match between Dean Ambrose and Finn Balor before. Have you?
No, I don't think anything that I can think of. None.
I think he's the perfect go-home opponent for Finn. If it's not Triple H, then it should be Finn for the title for WrestleMania. What's your thoughts?
I would like to see Finn. I didn't even think of that. I was thinking of like a Drew McIntyre, somebody that would like get, you know, as physical as him. I think they would allow him at least on his go-away, you know, thing. Match or whatever, let's just say that they would allow him to go a little crazy, a little nuts, or he would just do it himself. You know what I mean? It's like, well, I'm leaving anyways.
Yeah.
You know, and he kind of has that character or just a personality where I think he would do that. So at least give him somebody that would go, that would just match him up, you know, and just physicality. So but Finn Balor's a really good wrench, or what is it when you just throw something into, you know, he's just a really good, I can't even think of the word. I don't know why.
Compatible.
Yeah, he's just compatible. Yeah, I didn't think of, I wouldn't have thought of him, but just bringing him up, I'm like, you know what, you're right, because he's one of those where he takes a beating and still comes back for the fight, and he's really innovative in his offense, and so is Dean. They really don't, they're unorthodox, both of them in their own way, so it would be a good mix. I would like to see that. If not, the Triple H, though, to me, I think the Triple H would be like a sign of respect, like, all right, I'm going to send you off, you know,
yeah.
I'm the boss kind of thing.
Yeah.
And not for nothing, I always like the Triple H matches. He does always put the people over, regardless of people saying that he buries people, here comes the shovel, you know, and no, he puts people over like a motherfucker, you know what I mean? He put John Cena over, he puts everybody over, dude.
Yeah.
He's the Undertaker, always, you know, Shawn Michaels, he's... I can see him putting, like, as a respect, you know, as the Seth Rollins,
yeah.
He put him over. That's why he's the King Slayer,
yeah.
You know. So that would be a respectful thing to do.
All right. Let's get on with the show. We're going to talk about missed booking opportunities, and we got a very interesting lineup here tonight. Elias's face run. Tell me, Batman, what went wrong with Elias's first face run?
I think what it was is just it wasn't organic. Like, we all kind of were still annoyed by him, so, you know, because that's his character in NXT and
mm-hmm.
him coming up. And it's just the whole thing with the pretentious and thinking you're like a newer version of a Jeff Jarrett, you know? That's why I kind of like that
yeah.
little mixture that they had for him on Raw this past Raw, I believe, or so, the past couple interactions that they've had. Because he's just like a newer version, you know? He's not... Don't get me wrong. He has his little singing thing and all that stuff, but he's, you know, think he's the best of the best. He's the you know, the greatest rock star of the WWE. Walk with Elias and to me that was never a face anything. I think what they were trying to do was just get him over with the crowd, but still keep him as a heel, you know, because he still did a lot of heel things. So I think the face turn. I don't even know if the face turn was actually meant to be a face turn. You think so? You think I think they were just putting him in segments and he just somehow got people over, you know, or he just got over with the people, you know? Because it was like,
well,
you know, funny, you know, doing the whole playing the guitar and then getting interrupted and all that stuff. I mean, I don't know if it was a face turn or not.
Technically, he beat Jeff Jarrett, but there's more important to that. He beat a former WCW World Champion. So do you think he's going to have a championship title down the road after beating Jeff Jarrett, a former WCW champion?
I think he's had it coming for a while. I think they actually were having him in mind for the Intercontinental Champion. And to be honest with you, I would like to see him in that title run again, because I think he was pursuing it, right, for a while. He was in the Intercontinental title picture for a little bit.
Yeah,
so
I think but then he never got a rematch.
Yeah, and he never got it. I think what it was is they were testing the waters with him, like, okay, let's see what kind of matches he can put up with this guy, if he can really carry it, you know, kind of just seeing how it would work. And honestly, I was kind of looking forward for him to win because of the whole honky tonk and the Jeff Jarrett character that he has, you know. He's just the newer version, like, it's 2019 now, but he still has this, like, this I don't want to say grungy, but like how would you explain it? Like the Drifter character that he had in NXT. You know, he had some kind of like late 90s vibe to him with the guitar. And, you know, it's just I would like to see him as an Intercontinental Champion. So, yeah, I think they're grooming him for the title picture again. And it would just add a fresh person into the title picture, because we've had the same kind of people going back and forth, you know?
Yeah. So let's talk about the next one. This one's really recent, but now it's over. Dean Ambrose's heel run. Oh, boy. This was doomed to fail, wasn't it? Like, this had no chance of succeeding, in my opinion. But let's hear your opinion, Batman. How did you feel about this heel run, and did you think it was doomed to fail from the start?
I think we mentioned this before, that I think it just felt a little forced, man. Like, I think he had an idea of what he wanted to do, and they were like, yeah, but no, we'll just try to, why don't you do this with it instead, you know? And he's mentioned it a couple of times. Like I said, I think I mentioned that he did it on that podcast, No Cold One, where he was like, I had all these ideas, but, you know, Brock Lesnar was lazy, or they just didn't want to go through that. Maybe I'm just a little too lunatic, you know, fringe. I feel, and I could be wrong, again, I'm not creative, but I feel like they just they didn't, you know, allow him to really put on the character he wanted. This whole, I mean, like, I get it, but it just doesn't work, because who's he going against? Like, I don't see the moral compass to anything, and I've said that before many times. I don't see a moral compass to anything. Who are you going against? What moral compass? Everybody's kind of running amok right now, to be honest with you. I get it. Yeah, the moral compass, but to who? You know, if you're trying to be, he's like a Bane character, where's the Batman? Where's the you know, Superman, where's the any kind of DC superhero, because Bane is, you know, DC villain. It was terrible, man. He just, I don't know. I honestly, it's one of those where, and before I let you go, your turn, because I know I ran a little bit. I think it could be, has to do, and again, I could be wrong, but it may have something to do with him just getting released. Not released, I mean, I'm sorry, him not signing his contract or renewing it, you know? Maybe it was already in the works and they were like, well, look, you know, just do what you're going to do. You know what I mean? Just do it this way. and if you haven't noticed, he's been doing the job a lot lately.
Yeah. Which brings up a tie into this segment. EC3's been booked terribly. Have you felt towards that? Have you feel like already he's been booked bad lately?
I think he's been booked badly since NXT. I mean, look, the guy has the look. No one's denying that. And in TNA, it was working for him. In TNA, I think it still worked. It still has this whole big man thing. But in TNA, what isn't the land of the giants? Here, he's going to need a little bit more than that. Because in TNA, you look at the giants. It was EC3. You look at Matt Morgan, the Blueprint. They were big, fucking huge guys. And that worked for them there. Bobby Lashley, they didn't have to have anything. They just, like the Lex Lugers or the Sid Vicious's of WCW days, you know? They didn't need the big charismatic thing. They were just the giants. Here in WWE, it's different. It's the land of the giants. Kind of still, you know? Not for nothing. There's still big fucking muscly guys here. Yeah, you got your 205 Live. That's why they got this segment now. But it's still, you know, you still got some big guys there. EC3 just, I don't know, there's something about his gimmick where it's like, oh, man, I think there's just a little more you need.
And it doesn't really help that Dory has not yet have him do a fucking promo yet. And the fact that he won against Dean Ambrose and nobody cared shows you that this booking has been terrible so far.
Yeah, and I think, too, the thing is, though, is that the win against Dean Ambrose and nobody cares is because we know that Dean Ambrose is leaving. He's got no rub anymore. You know what I mean? It's like knowing that he's leaving, it doesn't give him any weight to his character. Like, not for nothing, like, the losses, it's like, no wonder. It's a given that he's losing because he's on his way out. You know what I mean? It's like, do you even care about his character right now? You know he's leaving after a Raw. I mean, do you care? Are you invested in the character now? No. You know, so it's that's the reason why EC3, it didn't matter.
I think they didn't care EC3 winning because they don't even know who the character is because he hasn't even made a fucking promo yet. So how is the fan supposed to care for this guy if they don't even know what his personality is, what his character is? You're just having him standing like an idiot in these backstage segments, smiling like a goof, fucking showing his muscles, and then fucking past Monday Night Raw, you don't have him say anything again. I mean, how the fuck is the fan supposed to care?
Yeah, and one thing about his character, he's supposed to be like the one percenter. You know what I mean? To me, when I think of 1%, I think about the bunny. He could be not dressed in his oily body all the time. I get that. Yeah. You're not a bodybuilder character. That's not your gimmick. You're supposed to be the 1%er, right? Be swole.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Be super muscly, but dress for the job that you want. You know what I mean? So he's obviously trying to play this role and come out, make yourself look like money, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come out with a nice suit. Look, you don't even have to come out with a shirt. Have nothing on. Just have a nice belt, nice slacks, and a nice pair of shoes, some Stacey Adams or something, you know, alligator skins. And still show your muscles. You know what I mean? You can still look badass. But he doesn't. He just comes out looking like a goof, like you said, smiling all the time, just looks like a big, muscly whatever. And that's it. It has nothing to do with the gimmick that he's trying to portray.
He's going to lose.
So I think that's what gets him, too. At least that's what gets to me. Like, that's what makes me not win me over.
He's
I don't see anything 1% about you.
He's going towards the Mason Ryan route at this point.
Yeah. Just a big, oily, muscly blob. And that's nothing. I'm not saying anything bad about the guy. You know what I mean? Of course, we respect him. We're wrestling fans. But it's just a gimmick. Because that's what we're talking about here is, like, what can we do to make it work? That's what I think would work. Like, look, God, man, I'm not saying – the guy's talented. I love his elbow drop. That, to me, is a beautiful elbow drop. Like, it's just a heavy – that looks like it hurts when he lands. You know what I mean? He's got something about him. Obviously, that's why he's still there. That's why he climbed the ranks in TNA. They got him out of NXT and brought him into the main roster now. He's got something. I think, like I said, it's the gimmick that he's trying to portray.
I think he wasn't ready.
His whole attire doesn't fit.
I think he wasn't ready to leave NXT in the first place.
No, I think, and you're right, I think that was a good place to develop him, and they still didn't get to develop him. He was there for a year, and I never saw any kind of anything for him right there. Even in his little mini promos, it was still – but again, I think even in his mini promos, it was still your 1%er. You're supposed to be made of money, and I don't see anything in money, just oily body, you know, and that's not what I want to see. If you're going to be made of 1% or you're going to be the 1%er, this and that, then portray that, you know. Come out with nice clothes and come out with, you know, something to do with money. I don't know what it is, but it has to do something to do with money, and it just – because you associate shit, you know, and his gimmick is two different gimmicks, I think. You're trying to do too much and doing too little at the same time.
Yeah. Now it's time for the third segment of Miss Booking Opportunities, Asuka's current and possibly only title reign. Let's be honest, folks, it's been left to be desired. 2 weeks in a row, the SmackDown Women's Champion has not been on show. And I've just found out that she did a dark match with Charlotte Flair. As the champion, she did a dark match. So I say to assume that this title reign is just a token reign for someone to just win it from Asuka. And the only reason I bet you 10-1 as why Asuka's champion right now is because of the AEW effect. Because that's why these putting these people over. Let's be honest right now, people. If AEW wasn't a thing, do you honestly think that they would put fucking Asuka over or try to put Finn Balor over now or have the wrestlers that we wanted to be put over now? No. It's because of fucking AEW, and they don't want the wrestlers to leave to the other enemy territory, so that's why. That's why Asuka's a fucking champion right now. Let's be real. Batman, what's your thoughts on Asuka's title reign so far?
I like that she's got the title because I feel like she deserves it. You know, she's earned it, but
yeah.
It's a really bland title run. It's just like they just threw it on her because it's like, look at your time. We're just gonna throw it on you. And you know what? Look, when you look back, a lot of people's a lot of stars or wrestlers, a lot of talent, their first run isn't always a memorable. I mean, even Ric Flair. Ric Flair's first run wasn't that great. Not until he won it from Dusty Rhodes, and that feud really came along when it was really there. Look at Carmella's. Wasn't that all that great? Nia's wasn't all that great. Even Stone Cold's. He was on a different level. Chris Jericho's first title run wasn't all that. You know what I mean? It was short. I think right now, like I said, they're just throwing it on her. Not throwing it, obviously, but it's just who else are you going to put it on right now where it's got anything? And that sounds terrible saying that, but I think what they could do with her character is how you've mentioned before. Make her come out wild. That's the Asuka, you know, that we knew in NXT. I feel like they watered her down when she came to the main roster. Let her be the one from NXT, do you agree with me? Do you think they watered her down? I feel like it's just watered-down version of NXT.
All she looks like is a big goof to me. All she does is dance.
Yeah, and there's no violentness to it. At first, she used to dance, but it was cool because she was violent still. I feel like that was like a, you know, we'll give you that. You are... Kind of like Shinsuke in a way. I'm sorry, not to compare them because I know, but I feel like that's what happened to him too. Because he would do all those little dance things, right? But he was violent as fuck.
Yeah.
He was still known as the king of God damn it,
style.
I can't think of it. King of Strong Style, and now I don't see much in the main roster. I feel like
Shinsuke,
it's been watered the fuck down.
I think Shinsuke is worse.
No, it is worse. He's been watered down completely. And I don't know if it's him or if it's creative or what, but it's just that's where it's at now. Well, it's same thing with Asuka, though, right now. Right now, Asuka's a little just dance and smile. But I want to see that violentness of her. I want to see the Asuka that we know. And maybe it's her trying to change it, too. I don't know yet. You know, tread the waters of what is SmackDown. Maybe she just needs to go to Raw. And that's what she needs to ignite that. You know, just to set her second title on what it be. But I think in Raw, I think she would be great in Raw right now.
I bet you 10-1, the first person she feuds with is fucking Nia Jax.
I would like to see that, though, because their little feud in NXT was not that bad. That's where Nia started getting her chops. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it worked with Nia. That was the thing, is Nia had all this shit talked about her, but those matches with her and Asuka weren't terrible. It actually worked because of her size and the way Asuka attacked her. You know what I mean? And I think they go back. I think her and Natalya would have a great fucking feud. Natalya, I think, would bring the physicality out in her. You know, Mickey James and Asuka. I think didn't they feud when Mickey James first came back in NXT? I think there would be a great mix again. So I think Asuka
she
needs people on her level.
I think she doesn't need to do no more promos. That's what's hurting her the most.
Yeah, you're right. We don't need that. I want her to do her crazy little promos that she had before. You know, we need to get over that you're not ready for Asuka because she's already been beat. So everybody's ready for you now. You know, it doesn't work anymore. It's like when Goldberg, when he was like, who's next? After he lost, I didn't give a fuck who was next because you already lost. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then the same thing like, Feed Me More with Ryback when it was becoming a huge thing. After he lost, I was like, oh man, I was like, well, what do you want to eat? You already ate enough, bro. You know what I mean? So you ain't starving. So that's the thing. We need to find a different, like you said, no more promos. Just make her come out violent. We don't need it. Look, okay, you lost, and we're not throwing that loss in your face. It's just saying like you're not that. You're a different animal now, and you're the world, And that's the thing, too. Act like a world champion. Come out there and freaking be violent. Like, I fought for this. I'm going to fucking fight for it now.
And have matches. Have fucking matches. Because I'm sick of everybody.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, that kills her. She's not, she hasn't, I haven't seen her in a lot of title matches.
No, it's not just her. It's every world champion. I hate the fact that once you win a world title, you never fucking wrestle again until the next pay-per-view. That needs to fucking stop.
Yeah. Look, maybe they do that because for a while the title was changing a lot. And sometimes you got to find a way to work with what you got. And I mean, it was being because for a while it was getting, the minute it was switching hands a lot, dude, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. Yeah. There was a time where it was a lot. I mean, we've had this on the segments too, where you mentioned it, like how many times the title changed, you know, in this year. I mean, come on, maybe it's okay for every month or whatever, but you know, put it on the line every other show or something. But and that's the thing, and we've said this so many times, just the oversaturation, man. Something about that oversaturation. Like, I'm happy that there's all these wrestling, but it's kind of like, where do you go?
Look, before I announce the commercial breaks myself, I got to say something right now. Even though Daniel Bryan is a fantastic heel, his title reign has not been good. His title reign has been kind of mediocre at best. Do you feel that? Like, you feel like his title reign is a little mediocre?
Who's again?
Daniel Bryan.
No, I don't, actually. I think the character that he's playing right now, he's like a little weasel. Like, I mean, look at what they did for Elimination Chamber.
I love the character. I'm just saying that I don't feel like the title reign is that good.
There's something missing. And that whole organic self-sustained or whatever title, I like the idea, man. I really do. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's the people that he's in the title reign with, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not just him. It takes two to tango in this instance, and it takes the whole roster. There's something missing in the storyline. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's the stars or what. Because I like the Daniel Bryan character, but who he's going against, it's maybe I don't want him to go. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. I know you know what I'm talking about, you know?
Yeah.
That he's doing just great, I think. It's the people that he's going against. I don't think they're just at his level. Daniel Bryan is in a different level, you know what I mean? And the only other one I can see at his level is maybe AJ Styles. But you know what I think? I don't want this feud to be with him. I would like for him to be with Samoa Joe or something.
Probably.
I could see a Samoa Joe and him kind of feud, but not the way they're doing it now.
All right. So it's time for me to announce the commercials right here, right now. This is a one-time-only thing because this is going to be the only commercial break we're going to do. And we're going to straight forward to the show. So are you ready, Batman? Are you ready to hear the awesome, exciting lineups every week of
Here?
Let's
go. Throw it on me, baby.
All right, so first off, this Sunday, we're going to have greatest talk show ever with Sunday. Then on Monday, we're going to have Monday Night Fallout with me, T-Rock Plutonium, and Minister of Sinister himself. Then Tuesdays, we're going to have Facing Tuesdays with Hollywood. Then on Thursdays, of course, Fatal 4-Way Radio with Batman, my co-host, me, Joe Bates, and Minister of Sinister himself. Then on Fridays, we have Rankin Fridays with Joe Bates himself. And then, of course, this fine show we have here, Radio Renegades, with me, of course, the host, Christian from Philly, and my co-host, Batman. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to hear more of these exciting shows, podcasts, and entertainment, and also, of course, the newest installment in our podcast lineup, The Omega Opinion, The Children's Block, where you hear interesting historical events, facts, and lots of fun. Hopefully, in my opinion, they could do the Christmas holiday history, you know, where it starts with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and it ends with Frosty and Rudolph's history. But that's just my opinion. I hope that I'm just giving him ideas. That's just my opinion, folks. But anyway, that's it for all the lineups for this week and every week of Royal Generation Podcast. Give us a listen to. Give us a call if you want to call us in our shows. And, yeah, come join us in the wild ride, folks. This is me, Christian from Philly, and Batman. And now we will return to our regularly scheduled program, Radio Renegade. All right, folks, we're back from Radio Renegades with me, Christian from Philly, the host. And joining us is the ever-so-dark knight himself, Batman. Say hi to the lovely audience of the night, Batman.
Justice will be served tonight.
How's it going, crowd? Having a good time?
All right. So now we're going to kick things off with what the fuck moments. The first one being Nia Jax breaks Becky's face before the Night of Survivor Series. Batman, what is your thoughts on Nia Jax injuring Becky Lynch's face that night?
Man, I loved it. And I know that I got a little bit of backlash from the podcast when I mentioned that. You know, she was being too sloppy. She deserved this. And I was like, I liked it, man. You know, that I that's the physicality that I miss. Even though, I mean, I get it. Where when, you know, y'all disagree and you're like, yeah, but it's not the time. It's not that day and age anymore, man. You got to be more careful. But I'm like, man, but it's a dance. And not anybody, no one held it against her. I mean, if that's what I get. We're all fans, and we got our say because we're so passionate. But if nobody there said anything and they didn't hold any grudges, hey, man, it's all good because they know that it's not ballet, you know. And that's just, it's a cliche saying, but it is not. It ain't ballet. You know, I don't think she meant to do that. I think they were just – look, it's a big freaking – it was a bunch of them. It's like a battle royal going on. And it gets freaking insane. If you've never been in a battle royal, you've never been in a thing, you can't say shit. You know what I mean? Simple as that.
Yeah.
Pardon my friend. You can't say nothing. It gets, it's, you get flustered. You get, what do I do here? And then, you know, she was already battling somebody else, you know, and then Becky Lynch comes in and just, she socked her in the face. Hey, but guess what? Becky Lynch got the freaking, the best of it all. You know, she got socked in the face and she ate it. But guess what? I mean, she had a great damn meal. The dessert was even better because look at her now. She's the man, you know, you can get away with anything, man.
Yeah.
It made her.
All right. Yeah, I agree. So the next what the fuck moment is Ambrose leaving WWE. Now, this is part of it because we didn't know that Ambrose was planning on leaving WWE, but I felt like we all kind of knew inside. Just by the way he was being booked, I kind of felt like I knew inside deep down that he was leaving. But when they finally announced it on their website that he's leaving, I don't know, like, a part of me died inside, to be honest. Like, you've been hearing me bash him, calling him the bum, calling him a loser and that he sucked. But know this, I was just bashing the character. I wasn't bashing the man behind it. He's a great guy. He's a cool motherfucker. He's a great family man. And it's going to be fucking sad for him to leave. I mean, without him, I wouldn't even still be watching WWE. I mean, he made those from 2012, he made WWE bearable for me. But now that he's leaving, I don't know. Like, will WWE ever be fucking the same again after he leaves? I mean, he was like one of the originals in the 2010 era, if you will. Like, he was one of the originals. He was there when CM Punk was still WWE champion. He was there when Batista returned. He was there with the great six-man tags with the Wyatt family and Evolution. He was there when Roman Reigns announced he had leukemia. He was there when he first won his WWE Championship at Money in the Bank. He was there when he had his first title match against AJ Styles. Say what you want, but Dean Ambrose had a great history with the company. Some were good, some were bad, but all in all, we have to thank Dean Ambrose for all the hard work he gave us, all the hard work he entertained us in his own wacky way. And we're going to fucking miss him, you know? Like, we're going to fucking miss him. Batman, what was your thoughts when it was announced that he's leaving?
Well, here's the thing with it. Let me go out to this other section. Here's the thing with Dean Ambrose, man. I've loved the guy since Combat Zone. I think sort of was CZW. John Moxley. Before he went into the main roster, you know, he was part of the original, like the FCW, which in turn became NXT. Before the whole NXT on network and all that, you know, before the NXT that was with what was it called? The NXT with Daniel Bryan, you know, before that. So he's been there for a while, man. And I remember when he was starting feuds with Mick Foley, because Mick Foley was going to come back for a little. He was going to do a little thing. And it didn't work out because of, you know, the concussions and all that stuff. This is when they were really kind of getting real strict on that. And so he didn't. But they were doing their little feud, you know, on Twitter and all this stuff when Twitter was becoming a thing. And I mean, look. If they were ever to bring back the hardcore champion, I've always had this in the back of my head, the hardcore championship, or any kind of like hardcore anything, you know, Extreme Rules title, let's just say. That would have been a cool one. Dean Ambrose, I think, would have been like the foundation for it, you know? Luke Harper, Cesaro, Sheamus. Like, I could have seen a whole group of people that could have fit that title, you know, because of the physicality. And they would have legitimately made it look hardcore. You know what I mean? Because they beat the shit out of each other. And Dean Ambrose, I think, would have been in the forefront of it if they would have given him a chance. Or if they even had a thought about it, if they would have let it happen. Dean Ambrose is one of my favorite fucking... he's just... the guy just resonated with everybody. He was just like an everyday guy, you know, just weird, just... You could tell that he kept to himself, but he was just a friendly dude. He can get along with any, you know what I mean? That's just the Shield character that he was. That was him. He just said, hey, this is me, my bros, my buddies. Let's do what we got to do. We got to hunt. We're going to hunt. We're going to eat. We're going to eat. We got to sleep. We're going to sleep. You know, if I got bread, I'm giving you half. You know, that's just the kind of guy that he portrayed. And, I mean, he's been a fan favorite since. I don't know anybody who doesn't really like the guy. At least, you know, people that I've talked to in wrestling, you know, fans and stuff like that. Or people I've come across with to watch the show. I am gonna miss him in the WWE. But again, I mean, it's not just WWE anymore, man. You know, I wouldn't want to see him in a TNA, I'll tell you that. But I can see him in the AEW. I could see him in New Japan. Shit, he probably would go to Combat Zone. Back to there, you know? You don't know. Or he's just probably looking for peace for a little bit. Honestly, maybe that's the whole thing with him, too. He just needs peace. You know, he just came back from injury not that long ago, and maybe he's just not there, you know, because that whole contract has been on the contract's been on the question for a while, you know, so it's not something that was just new. And when he came back from injury, his injury was supposed to come back with like a, you know, big bang, and it didn't. His return was kind of just null and void in a way. It just did what happened. And I think they had a plan, too, between him and Roman. But then, you know, the Roman leukemia thing happened, and I guess that's what they did was, you know, turn him heel that day, and it just went downhill from there. But it all could be, and we mentioned this before, it all could just be that his contract was coming up, and he kind of already knew, and just whatever. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to do the job. They were there for me these many years and took care of me while I was out in injury. At least I can do is just respect, you know. Doing the job on my way out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though it sucks for us, but that's just the way it is sometimes.
Yeah. Well, what better way to tie Dean Ambrose with this? His very own and probably his last movie, 12 Rounds Part 3. We told you on Fatal 4-Way that we were now going to talk about WWE movies, and what better way to start things off with 12 Rounds Part 3, Batman, how did you feel towards this movie?
Honestly, man, I enjoyed it. It wasn't too bad. And you know what it was, though? Because I didn't expect a lot. I think that's what it is with a lot of WWE films. People are like, oh, it's WWE. And you know what? Even saying that, you know, people go and it's like, I expect it to be, you know, because it's a film. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. But then at the same time, they kind of talk mess. It's like, it's probably not going to be that good, though, because it's a WWE film. Well, I mean, what do you expect? It's a WWE film. But for being a WWE film, look, it's Lionsgate. Lionsgate and WWE have had a long relationship since, I believe, what was it called?
Blade?
No. Jeez, I can't think of the movie. It's one of their... See No Evil. Jesus Christ. I had a brain fart there. Since See No Evil, you know, that's when I remember Lionsgate really being a big... Maybe they were a few films before that, but really pushed them, you know, in their movies. And this looked to like a Lionsgate film, like, you know, just a regular film that they've been throwing out there straight to DVD, straight to, you know, video movies. But look, here's one thing I can say about Dean Ambrose. He's a good actor, bro. For someone who's never been on a movie, it's not like I didn't believe him. You know what I mean? He was pretty good. You got invested in the guy a little bit, you know? He played that rough. I could see him playing a rough and tumble kind of guy. That's just the way he is.
Yeah.
So I think he would fall great for characters like that. You know, he's trying to get his reputation back, or, you know, trying to get his credit back or something or whatever. In this film, he really, like, that was the character. And I think he did great. The fighting scenes were pretty good. I mean, other than the sound effects. And I mean, what do you expect? I guess it's like straight to video. But it wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible at all, man. I really like doing this. Adding this segment, because there's a lot. I went through the list. There's a lot of WWE films, and some of them I haven't seen yet. To find a theme, maybe somewhere we work it out later on as well, you know, team it out, like how do we do with Dean Ambrose, tie it in. What did you think about the character and the storyline, though, for this?
I thought it was the trilogy, right?
Yeah,
I thought it was better. I thought it was better than John Cena's character.
Yeah, 12 rounds. What did you think? Maybe next week we can go ahead and do the 12 rounds, the Randy Orton. We'll do it backwards.
Yeah.
Which will tie into the John Cena, because John Cena has been back in the scene now. Orton as well has been a big part in the title picture right now, because he's been arcane on everybody. And right now we're about to go into the Elimination Chamber, you know. So next week I think we should do that, 12 rounds. Part two. But I like the character. I like the storyline. Again, the sound effects were sometimes a little weird to me.
I thought the ending was anticlimactic. Yeah, the ending.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting a little bit more, but they ended it with him just walking away. There's a lot of movies that end like that, though. You know, like Scream, honestly, is one of the movies that come to mind. When she's like, no interviews or something, she just starts walking away, and then they just put that music on. Like, that's what that scene was like. He was like, yeah. And then that's it. He does his little line and just walks away like the badass that he is. Look, I like the fight scenes, man. Honestly, that's what stood out more to me, was that they would look really fluid. It fit with his character, you know, grabbing the shirt. And, like, manipulate, like, doing Jackie Chan kind of shit, you know? Like, it worked for him, man. There was a scene where he's holding one of the cops, or somebody hostage right in front, and then the other guy just goes off and shoots him. And he's like, no, don't die, or stay with me, man, you know? And I'm like, as short as the scene was, I was like, man, you did good, though, bro. You did good. Like, he made it believable. Like, he really felt something for this guy. You know, I think, man, if you know what, and talking about this, man, I'm just going on a rant here, but that's part of the segment, was I could see him in another film, you know, if he would try to pursue it. I could see him playing roles like that or doing guest stars or something, but I could see him doing roles like that, man. I think he's a natural, bro. And it's funny because he's not one of those that you see as a star. I would see you think like Roman Reigns would be in a movie. Or he is actually now. He's in the new Hobbs and Shaw or whatever. Sean Hobbs or movie with The Rock.
Yeah.
But, again, you would think of Roman Reigns as being the lead character or something, or John Cena or somebody else, you know, but not Dean Ambrose. And I'm not saying anything against him, but obviously you can see that he's just not the typical WWE person that they go for. You know what I mean? Man, he did great, I think he could have a future in acting if he tried to pursue it.
What the hell? Let's talk about another movie of WWE before we go to the last segment. This technically isn't a WWE movie, but a WWE superstar was in this movie. I don't know if you heard of it. It's called Bumblebee, the Transformers movie. And
I've heard the rank is pretty good, man. Rotten Tomatoes ranks at 9 out of 10.
It was fucking... Dude, I watched the film in theaters. It was fucking great, dude. It was what you wanted in a fucking Transformers movie.
Oh, is it out
now? Not like that magic... What? No, it was out in theaters, but you could buy it online, I guess, or watch it on a PlayStation.
But it was out already? It's been out on theaters already?
I don't know how I missed that. It's been out.
What? I'm downloading it tonight and watching it on my projector. So, I haven't seen that yet, man. I'm actually going to look it up right now and download it.
Oh, fuck me, man. It was fucking gorgeous. It was fucking good, dude. It was nothing like Michael Bay's fucking...
Yeah, because Michael Bay has this thing. Oh, man, Michael Bay. Look what he did to the Ninja Turtles. Look what he did to Battleship. And, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Bay is good when it comes to the graphics. I'll tell you that. There's a lot of people that... The only other person that comes close to that is, like, the Avatar dude. Crow. I can't think of his name. No, it's not Steven Spielberg. It's something Crow. I can't think of his name. But this guy, okay, he's really good at the CGI and stuff like that. Look, Michael Bay does have that down. His stories just to me are terrible. So Rotten Tomatoes has this like reputation for being like the end all be all when it comes to the critics or, you know, I'm terrible with names today. Terminology is just out the window. When it comes to ratings, there we go. They're usually the end-all be-all, you know, like Siskel and Ebert or whatever it used to be. They say 9 out of 10. You're saying you went to theaters, and you tend to be, don't get mad at me if I say critical. You're really passionate about what you like and what you don't like. And you say that this movie was pretty damn good. Considering it's a John Cena movie, and you know what? He hasn't been too terrible in the movies he's been out. Like, Hog Blockers was pretty damn good. And he was pretty good in Sisters.
Cena's hardly in the film, but he's in a few shots here and there. He's actually pretty good. He was good.
Oh, so he's actually not an actual star in the film.
No, he's not a main character, but he is a side antagonist. He's the character. He's the commander of Sector 7 that captured the Transformers from the beginning.
Okay.
And
so he's not a good guy in this film.
No, but then he turns good at the end.
Oh, of course.
But he's working with two Decepticons who lands on Earth.
Okay. I actually want to see this film, man, because like I said, he's been pretty good. So, because like I said, it's not Michael Bay in the helm of the film. So,
No spoilers, but you're gonna love the fucking opening of the film, dude.
I can't wait. The trailer looked pretty good.
You're going to fucking love the opening, dude. You're going to have a
nerd. So this is the origin.
Yes. The origins of the 2007 movie. But it might not be an origin because there's a secret end credit will spoil them. This might not be a prequel, but a reboot.
Yeah. I think it is a reboot, though.
Okay. Well,
everything's getting rebooted now. Look at the Child's Play. Chucky is supposed to be the reboot of the first one.
Well, actually, the creator of Chucky is not involved with this. He actually hates the film. He's mad about it.
Well, I know, but it's supposed to be the reboot, you know? Just like when they were trying to reboot Halloween, and it was just terrible.
They're doing Pet Sematary now.
Oh, they got to reboot everything now. We're in this age where they're just going to reboot everything.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff is all right. Some of the stuff isn't.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the last what the fuck moment. This is recently. This happened on Tuesday. Mustafa Ali getting injured by the eye by accident by Randy Orton. Did you saw what happened?
So here's where I was going to say. I didn't see. How did he get injured? I'm looking at the match. Rewinded it a shitload of times. And I'm like, where did I miss it? Right. Was it where he flew over and like. There was a part where like Randy Orton's over the announcement table, and he flies over, and it looks like he hits his head right on the barrier. But I was like, no, Because his eyes started swelling in that match, man.
No,
and then I saw his Instagram post, and he was just swollen shut.
He got injured
shut.
Before that.
So where was it? How did I miss it?
Okay. It was because he stomped him in the face 3 times with his boot. When Mustafa Ali was on the floor and Randy stomped him on the face, Ali accidentally went up and Randy hit him in the eye, the second stomp. That's what happened.
He said what? He hit him where?
He hit him when Randy was doing the stomps on his face. Mustafa accidentally went up to the boot.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? I know what you're talking about. Because he did stomp him, and that's when he kind of grabbed his face. So he basically healed him right in the eye.
Yeah.
See. Okay. Here's one thing I want to say about that. It was an accident, but how come he didn't get anything and Nia Jax did?
Well, because Nia Jax...
Because that actually
was
just... here's the thing. Nia Jax was actually like... It wasn't a sloppy punch. He just straight punched it, and it looks like Becky went into it as well. Well, look at Randy. That's an actual fucking dangerous move. You're stomping on somebody's face. And nobody told him anything, but he ended an accident.
You know what their psychology is, though? If you're not a major star, then you're going to get a free pass. If you're a major star, you get a free pass, but if you're not, then you're not.
And that's one of my points. You know, that's one of my points I'm trying to bring about the Nia incident. It's like, just because, here's the thing, she's already green still to many people's eyes, and she doesn't have that pull. Even though she kind of does, because The Rock has, like, her back the whole time. You see it on Instagram, Twitter. And just her, when they do interviews, there's always mention The Rock, how much he's had it back. Mm-hmm. Same thing for, like, Snuka. That's the reason why Tamina is still there. You know, I don't understand the reason why, but, you know, he's got a lot of push in that company. The Usos, the Roman, they're all still family. So, and maybe she's getting slack. You know, they're taking it too easy on her. But that's not true. Again, that's just not ballet, bro. And look at perfect example. Randy healed the shit out of somebody's face, bro. That thing looked like two. Mind my French on live podcast, but it looked like he had two pussy lips on his eye. Like it was just, sounds bad. You beep that out. But it looked nasty, bro.
Now the real question is this: is he going to be taking out of the match in the Elimination Chamber, or is he going to be good enough to compete?
I don't think he's going to be taking out the match. I think he's going to be fine. Look, it's swollen up, but an eye doesn't stay swollen for like 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks.
Yeah,
at least not the way his was. His was pretty bad, but I think it'll be down by Elimination Chamber, which I'm still hoping to go to.
Or do you think they're going to use this accident as a storyline for a potential feud between Randy Orton and Mustafa Ali for WrestleMania?
I could see Randy Orton and Mustafa because I like that little battle that they had for SmackDown.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Like, to me, that little eye incident was the cherry on top of the cake. You know what I mean? It was a great match, and just that kind of legitimized how tough that match was, how physical that match was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, look. There's a lot of times we talk shit about Roman Reigns, but when he gets busted up and he actually gets, like, stitches in his face, it legitimizes, look, no matter how much shit you talk about him, this dude is tough and is taking a beating in this match. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of just seals the deal. Mustafa Ali right now, it was the heart of 205, is now the heart of SmackDown, I believe. He's got the it factor like a mother freaker, you know. This guy is like the butter on the tortilla, on a flour tortilla. Roll it up and just, eat that thing up. Like, he's just the shit, bro. Right now, to me, he's got something under him right now where this guy's going to shoot far. His promos have been great. That Chicago one where he was talking about him being a police in the mean streets of, you know, used to be the police in the mean streets of Los Angeles. Yeah, what did you think about that promo?
I think it was great. It fit his character, and it was well done. But now that Elimination Chamber is coming around, what if there's a possibility that Daniel Bryan does lose the championship at this chamber? Who do you think could win it? Now, I'm saying that Daniel Bryan's going to retain, obviously. Well, there is a chance that he might lose it. So who do you think is the best option?
Look, I don't think there's any chance he's going to lose it because I don't think they're going to make him change the belt and then make him change the belt again.
No, there's a possibility.
But the possibility, they were, Man, look, I don't want AJ to get it, to be honest with you. I don't want him to have it yet because he doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. If he's had it for a while now, he had a good run with it. Now, there's Mustafa, there's Randy, there's Samoa, there's Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
And who else?
That's it.
No, that's only four.
No,
yeah,
that's
Samoa,
it.
Jeff Hardy, Mustafa, and Randy.
Mm-hmm. And then AJ and Daniel, that's six.
Oh, yeah, AJ and Daniel, okay. Well, okay, man, if he were to lose the season of things, I don't know, because I don't see any of these guys winning. None of them. And I think that goes back to what I was saying, that this feud, it's not that Daniel's not doing great. I think it's just the people that he's with. And there's nothing taken away from those guys, because they're all great. Just the way that they're building up the story is not – I can't see. If anybody, I would say Samoa, just to put it on Samoa for a little bit.
I would say Mustafa Ali for two reasons. One, because he pinned Daniel Bryan in a tag match, and it will be a shocking moment.
But you would give it to him that soon?
No.
All those veterans.
I'm saying a possibility. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but they would do that.
I mean, that would be a slap in the face to Samoa, to be honest with you, because all those guys have been champion except for Samoa and Mustafa and Samoa. I think it'd be good for him. I want a title run out of him.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Something about it. I don't think it's time yet. They need to build it up right, but I need to see him as a champion because I can see him just bulldozing everybody. Like him winning the championship and just being like, take it off of me now. You know what I mean? Like how Taz used to say, you know, win if you can, survive if I let you. Samoa's got that attitude. You know what I mean? Yeah, you beat me,
to be a face.
You survive. Go.
He needs to be a face when he has that title reign.
Samoa?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't see it as a face. I think the face would ruin his title run. I need to see him even more vicious. Like, now he's got a purpose.
No,
this
like a vicious
is not just
face.
Running around.
A vicious face, I mean.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I mean, how would you be a vicious face, though?
You could beat up both heel and face. I don't know.
But then that wouldn't make sense confusing. Because a face couldn't face the face. A face.
I don't know.
How much face could a face? We could face another face.
I don't know.
I don't. I mean, I get what you're saying, because that would be a good little thing. But to who? You know, I don't know. Look. I think he would be a good vicious face if he was facing good vicious heels. But just figuring out how the fuck to make that work. Because I honestly would see him as a great face. I mean, as a great heel, just beating the shit out of everybody. And
you
having matches with, like, the likes of Drew. I could see him feuding with Drew. You know who I would like to see him feuding with as well? Even though they're not on SmackDown. I mean, they're on SmackDown, but that whole the shakeup is happening. I could see him either with Cesaro or Sheamus.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would ever happen, but I could see them having fucking clinics, bro. Him and Sheamus or him and Cesaro could, oh, man, imagine the matches they could have for the title. And that would be a great way to bring Cesaro into the title picture because that guy deserves a title to me. Get him out of the title or the tag team title picture now. That guy deserves. And I listen to so many podcasts from Ric Flair to everybody. And they all say the same thing. That this guy is pound for pound one of the best dudes there, you know? And he's shown, he's proven, and look at the shit that happened with his teeth, and he still kept going on. Like, this guy's legitimate, man. Swiss Superman, like, he deserves to be in the title. And I could see him and Samoa Joe, I don't know how they would bring it in. Your crazy mind would figure that out, but I could see that. I'm the one that plants the seeds. You're the one that knows what to, you know, to put on there to make it grow. Like, I could see Samoa and Cesaro or Samoa and Sheamus, like, just tearing it up, man.
Yeah. I go also see Cassius Ohno if he debuts to the main roster.
Man, I hope he never hears me and I never meet him. I'm not the sad I want to meet him, but I hope if I do ever meet him, he doesn't hold it against me. But I don't know, man. Cassius Ohno is one of those guys where it's like, I don't know. Is this terrible, man? I like him. I do.
I know.
But
I
don't see him as.
He's
you know
slow.
What I mean?
He's
I think
slow.
You just got this, like, thing for him because you mentioned him a lot. you really got this thing for Cassius. You got like the soft spot for him, but I just don't. God, it sounds so terrible.
No, I don't have a soft spot. I don't have a soft spot. I just want him to go to the main roster and then get released because they're putting.
Oh,
they're
just trying to get rid of him faster.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
Put him out of his misery already.
He's like a horse that just had a jump, broke his leg. It's just like,
yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
Because let me tell you something.
Oh, man.
NXT
I like
takeover,
him, though. That's the thing. You know what it is?
I know.
Is that he let himself go, man.
Yeah.
That's what it is, bro. And it sounds so terrible saying that because look, who am I to say something? I'm, you know, I'm not a solid 280 right now.
Nah,
I'm probably, you know, 60-40. Or maybe 7:30, you know. When it comes to like ground beef, I'm 70% fat, 30% lean. You know, going the other way around. So who am I to say something? But he looks. I mean, look, Cassius. It's look, wrestling is your character. So I don't care what you say when people are like, "Well, I don't like when they're critical." That's the fucking point, dude. You're in the middle. You're in front of everybody, and you're trying to figure out your character. And the whole part of figuring out your character is what people like and what people don't. What gets over and what doesn't. That doesn't get over. I don't know about this thing because the way he gained the weight, he let himself go weight wise because he used to be real. I don't know if that's a personal or physical or something that he just can't. I don't know what it is because he looked fucking great when he was younger and that guy's got skill. But another thing about it is his attire. His whatever he's wearing doesn't work for him either. He looks like he's coming out to play basketball, not to wrestle. You know what I mean? And I don't see him as a basketball star. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't have a basketball gimmick. The nigga looks like he's coming out. Oh, I'm sorry. Oops.
Okay.
In IWGA, he comes out looking like he's going to play some sport. You know what I mean? So I like him. But something's not working for him. And maybe it's just the
age. Let me tell you
I hope you don't beat me up.
Let me tell you about NXT Phoenix TakeOver before we finish off with the show. We have what if scenarios left. I thought it was kind of an okay show. But let me tell you something. That Matt Riddle and Cassius Ohno match has got to be the worst NXT match I've ever fucking seen in my entire life. I'm sorry, but they both sucked in that match.
Was it the one where Matt Riddle just first came in, or is it the actual match after?
It's the actual match right after. That was the third match.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
It was fucking terrible.
Oh, okay, the one that just happened recently. Okay, here's one thing I got to say about the pay-per-view. I've heard, and I've seen when I heard, from my sources, there's a rumor that Vince, you know, Triple H has really gotten NXT over, man. And this thing that, if you haven't noticed for the past couple years, the trend is NXT blows the WWE pay-per-view out of the water. Like, not for nothing they do. The War Games, every time there's a War Games, they've blown out the regular pay-per-view out the water. Anytime there's a takeover, they blow the regular pay-per-view out the water. You know what I mean? And I don't know if you agree with me or not, but that's what's happening. And there was rumors I've seen in the, you know, the dirt pages that he is the dirt sheet that he kind of like was told, he told them to kind of tone it down so that it doesn't outshadow, you know, the actual main pay-per-view, you know? And you know what? I still thought the NXT pay-per-view was better than the actual Royal Rumble.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that match was terrible. I'm just saying that one match was terrible.
No, that one match, yeah. And there you go, Cassius Ohno. Because Matt Riddle's not too terrible.
All right. So let's move on to the last segment of our show. What if scenario? This one's a very interesting one. What if Batista picked JBL instead of Triple H at WrestleMania, Batman? What if he picked JBL over Triple H?
Look, I want to say this. Look, Triple H is my favorite wrestler of all time.
Yeah.
I know that's saying a lot. Most people are like, what the fuck? Because I really love Shawn Michaels. I really love Mick Foley. I really love Eddie Guerrero. I mean, we've had a special on him, technically. Eddie Guerrero. But Triple H is that the yards, you know, he's the stick. Like, the guy that... Because, look, he wasn't the main event guy, but to me, I've always respected him because he's the one that got those main event stars out there. The Rock, look, when Stone Cold got injured, The Rock and Triple H, their feud was the shit. And you know what got The Rock over? His feud with Triple H. When Mick Foley was kind of, like, floundering down, and you know what really brought him over with the fucking the commissioner and all that other stuff? Triple H was in the scene. When Stone Cold was having the power trip in the DX, who was in the scene? Triple H. when DX was happening, you know, during the Shawn Michaels with the Mike Tyson and all that, who was there? Triple H. You know what I mean? Evolution? Triple H. All the stuff that was going on in the Elimination Chamber and all this crazy stuff that's, you know, storylines later with the Randy Orton and the Triple H. Look, no matter what people say about him, he is the freaking bomb. But not for that rant. That's why it worked with Batista. It needed for him to happen, for him to get that rub, to get him into that next echelon of stardom. You know what I mean? Because when he got the title, this motherfucker soared, right? He freaking a rocket ship all the way to the sky. But baby, let me tell you something. That's not everything you need sometimes. It's not going to get the boss, but it's going to get the grunt. You know, you lay down dirty, get in the dirt, and get yourself nasty and wet and muddy. Learn the real ropes, you know what I'm saying, to get beat in, learn how to get backed up every time. I think that's what he would have done. I think his feud, if he would have chosen JBL, because I remember when he chose Triple H, I was like, oh, I like it. But I really wanted JBL because, man, JBL was on fire, dude, at that time. On fire with that character. And I could have seen him going against JBL and saying, you know what? I came from nothing. You know, he could have used his whole story about him in Seattle, in D.C., Washington, I'm sorry, in D.C., Washington, you know, seeing somebody die in the front of his yard. And you know, and these are real-life things, growing up as a bouncer, learning, you know, how to survive in the streets, fight, you know, every day of his life. Like, using that character against JBL, who's, you know, big money, this and this and that, coming out the limo, you know what I mean? I think it would have been a great feud. And those two guys were physical as fuck. Because Triple H knows how to sell it. He can get physical. But JBL and Batista were on different levels when it came to physicality.
You have to include John Cena, too, because John Cena was also a number one contender. So it would have been a triple threat match.
Yeah. But I think they could have done something great with JBL and Batista. You know? Yeah. And I think what happened was that when Batista became the champion, and it's been said in his DVDs too and his stories and stuff, where he got real big headed, you know, and he had to learn the ropes in SmackDown. I think doing that with JBL would have humbled him a lot. You get what I'm saying? Because JBL has a reputation of being rough and tough and not holding back. I mean, look, when the Public Enemy tried to come in and try to overpower them, they were like, look, you're going to do the job. Well, no, we're not going to do that. We're just sandbagging the whole time. Hell no, the Acolytes went and beat the shit out of them, Farouk and Bradshaw. You know, he has a reputation of being tough, and he's not holding back. And I think Batista being a big guy, you know, instead of winning something and letting it go to his head like it did, that could have been a great way to not only get him over as a star and, like, to really show what he could do, because JBL was, I mean, again, look at what he keeps. It wasn't just Eddie Guerrero. When he was doing that stuff with Eddie, it wasn't just Eddie Guerrero putting in his part. JBL had to put his part too, you know? And Eddie Guerrero, they both really skyrocketed each other in that feud. So I think they could have done the same with the Batista character. I would have liked to see that. I was really hoping for him to choose JBL at the time, because I was like, man, I could see those two beasts just fucking mammoths just going at it. You know what I mean? I don't know. I have a soft spot for that, man. I like to see dudes just fucking beating the crap out of each other. It sounds so violent, you know? I'm over here watching My Little Pony with my little kids, my little girls, but, hey, nothing like a good just gods just beating the shit out of each other. You know what I mean? Just something about it, man.
Now that,
you know, just gladiators.
Now, if Batista were to choose JBL, who do you think Triple H would have defended the title against at WrestleMania that year?
Ooh, see, now that's a good question. God, who was in the picture at the time? Hold on.
Nobody.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Nobody. Nobody was at the title picture. Probably Shawn Michaels again. The only person I could think of.
And I wouldn't have any issue with that, because their feuds were always great. They just clicked. Mm-hmm. Their chemistry was just awesome. But you're right. Actually, there was nobody else. But Goldberg was another.
Yeah.
Everything was out of there. They were all out of there.
Or they could have bring Kurt Angle
from SmackDown.
Yeah, they dropped him and then have him face Triple H.
Well, who was in SmackDown that was gonna choose?
Cena,
right?
John Cena John Cena was already a contender, number one contender for that match. So if Batista would have chose JBL, it would have been a triple threat.
Batista who won the champ. Yeah, he was the one who chose. He could chose JBL.
So
they
can't. So I would have done. They would have traded contracts. I would have traded Kurt Angle with Batista. So Batista would have gone to SmackDown, and Kurt Angle would have gone to Raw. Probably Kurt Angle would have chased Triple H at WrestleMania for the World Championship.
Yeah, but then how would that feud would have worked? How would you have worked it? Yeah, I get it then. I get why they chose Batista in the end, because in that short amount of time, how were you going to create something that was worth trying to get invested into, you know?
Mm-hmm. I would have done the whole Stephanie McMahon thing, you know. Your wife,
again?
Your wife left. No, but make it more personal. Your wife.
She left you for me?
Yeah. And you know, they
she should have never,
you know,
yeah, she should have never married you to begin with, you freaking dumbass.
Yeah.
Not dumbass, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I didn't really like that story afterwards because that confused me when they came back and they were like, you know, divorcing, you know. It's just, she looked hot as fuck at this time. Don't get me wrong. Stephanie McMahon just, she looked like a whole meal. But
she was pregnant. She was getting pregnant, I think.
Was it? Oh, yeah, she was getting pregnant at the time. She should look good, bro. I don't care. She wasn't showing no belly, I'll tell you that. This time she was with because she was with Jericho. You remember?
Yeah.
She had the whole, she was with the wedding when she was, they were doing that little wedding, and she was like, no.
I think that was 2002.
Yeah, but that was when they did the whole divorce thing.
Yeah.
That's what I was mentioning, just like, I didn't really like the divorce story, but she looked good at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would have rather him and we're over here getting off topic. Batista and JBL would have been a great feud.
Yeah. Well, the next one is Bayley's heel turn. I wouldn't think it would have gone as far as it could have gone. I mean, she's more popular with the kids, especially little girls. And if it wasn't for those little kids, her fucking merchandise wouldn't get as successful like John Cena. So I don't think a heel turn would have helped Bayley. Do you think it would have helped her career?
No, and here's the thing is that, you know, we as fans read the dirt sheets and all this stuff, and it's a, you know, even in just social media now, sometimes you don't even need dirt sheets, you know, it just, it's out there. It was well known that we adults wanted her to be, I wanted to see her as a heel, but in reality, it wouldn't have worked. It's like the John Cena, not for nothing. As much as we want him to be heel, it's just not going to work.
Too little, too late.
It's a little too late, and his character is just that, you know. I can't see him as a villain. I just couldn't, you know. Look, he's the foundation, and that's the same thing with Bayley. Not for nothing, she's, when it comes to the Divas division, she's got all the little girls, bro. A lot of them, a lot of kids.
Yeah.
She's happy-go-lucky. She's got those little wacky inflatable arms. We don't, you know. She's just a kid, fun-loving. She reminds me of Toys R Us. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Toys R Us kid. She's just that. Going heel would just, I don't know, where would you go after that? That's the thing. Some characters, you can go heel, and then you can go back. Hers, I just can't see it ever going heel. Where do you go after going heel? You know what I mean? You can't go back to the fan favorite again, to Bayley, if she would ever go heel. I couldn't see her as being a Bayley again, the hugging, loving. So what would you do after the heel turn? She's going to have to be face again, you know. And you know what? Yeah. The perfect example is look at what they did. They tried to do that. You ain't shit. You know, there's a meme out there when she goes, you ain't shit. It sounded badass, but it kind of made her face. Look, she's a face Bayley now with the boss.
I made her look,
you know, with Sasha. And it's, you know what? It's stale. It is stale as fuck. If we were stale before, it's even more stale now.
Yeah.
Because they tried it didn't work, and now not for nothing. I love Bayley, bro. She's got a booty like, oof, you know, Shamu on that girl. But that's not even the thing. Just, as you know, she is a badass fucking wrestler.
Well,
she's badass.
Dude.
But
don't
where
worry.
Do we go? I think they're gonna win the tag team champions. I don't want them to though. To be honest with you, I want the All Iconics. I want them to win it.
Don't worry.
But
dude,
I have a feeling
the
Boston Hug.
I think Bayley's going to be the next Raw Women's Champion soon after Becky beats Ronda. Because the way they've been booking her, I think that it's a resurgence for her. She's been winning a lot of matches.
How would she do that if she's a title, though? I see them winning the tag team titles.
Have her win the tag titles first. And then when she loses it, a potential split-off, Then she could go solo again and go after the Raw Women's Championship.
Okay,
tag titles are a stepping stone. That's for a resurgence. They're part of her resurgence.
I can see that.
Yeah. Anyway, here's the last one. This is very interesting. It's a two-question part, what if. What if Rey Mysterio didn't win the 2006 Royal Rumble? And if not, who was next in line to win that year?
Oof. All right, so 2006, that's when Eddie Guerrero died. That's when Batista,
yeah.
He won, let's see, he won that from what, Randy Orton? And
When
Rey Mysterio, won the title.
Yeah, Rey Mysterio won it. And
who did he win it from?
Yeah,
who was in the match again? I can't
Randy
remember. I forgot already.
Kurt Angle.
Randy Orton and Kurt Angle. All right, if he didn't win it, honestly, I could still see Kurt Angle with it at that time with that run. I'm glad he did because, if it wasn't for him, the run sucked. The run wasn't too great, but it served its purpose, you know, because now look at all the people that are his size, let's just say, the division, we'll say cruiserweight or whatever the fuck. Look at all the stars that are winning championships now. You know what I mean? CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, it worked. But if he didn't win that, I would see Kurt Angle still running it. Kurt Angle at the time was still fucking hot as shit. He was awesome, you know. You couldn't touch him.
So
up until Kurt Angle went into ECW, you couldn't touch him. He was just on top of the game at that time.
All right, so if Ray didn't win the Royal Rumble match, who do you think would have won it beside him?
Jesus Christ. Let's see. I mean, this was a 2006 Royal Rumble, right?
Mm-hmm. We had guys like Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Randy Orton, technically Chris Benoit before he died.
Yeah.
Batista, John Cena, and all those other wrestlers. Edge. So who do you think out of those people would have won it? My pick would have been Randy Orton.
Randy Orton is a good pick on there. Look, we all know why he won.
2009, he won.
Jesus Christ, I'm trying to think.
2009,
Randy Orton won. Royal Rumble. Jesus.
You want me to repeat the wrestlers that were in that Rumble that year in 2006?
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Ric Flair, Triple H, Edge, Randy Orton, John Cena, Chris Benoit, Carlito, Chris Masters, and the rest. Out of those people.
I think this is the one. This was the one as I'm looking it up again, the Chris Benoit. Honestly, man, I would have liked Chris Benoit because he would have been a great contender for the Kurt Angle. Because I feel like I said at that time.
But he really won a Rumble. He really won a Rumble.
Who?
Chris Benoit.
That doesn't mean he could have won again?
Yeah, but
he
wasn't in prime for the title run yet.
Oh, true.
He was going up. He was going up to the United States title.
That's true. I would have.
I would have picked Randy, to be honest. I mean,
Randy? Why Randy at the time?
Because they had nothing for him. Like, imagine if he would have won the Royal Rumble.
What was he doing
gone
at
after,
the time? This was after
was
his
nothing.
Dad, right?
This was after the whole Undertaker feud. He would have gone the World
with
Title
his dad.
Run. Yeah.
Yeah, with him and his dad, right? Oh, that's true, because after that, they really didn't do anything with him after that.
Yeah. Besides him,
it wasn't until 2007, right, when he started feuding with Triple H again.
Yeah, besides him losing to Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam. They had nothing for
him
to do.
Oh, yeah. Jesus, I forgot about that.
So, yeah, look, he would have been the...
There was a lot of Hulk Hogan matches in that era where I was like, man, he should have just done the job. Shawn Michaels, yeah. He should have done the job. He should have done the job to Randy. He did the job to others like Brock Lesnar. But, I mean, Jesus. Yeah, cool. Randy Orton was kind of going on a little downhill at the time. So, yeah, you know what, you're right. Yeah, Randy Orton would have been a good... Because they didn't have anything. But who would you see him feuding with in it if he would have won? Because at least, look, Chris Benoit, he was getting primed for the United States. But if he would have won the Royal Rumble, he would have been a great match for Kurt Angle, who I would have liked to see win the champ. I mean, again, I know we know that Rey Mysterio won, but Kurt Angle would have been a great run for that title. Because Kurt Angle's just, I mean, he's just a natural. And at that time, nobody could touch him. Again,
I
Kurt Angle was just the shit.
I would have had him face John Cena for the first time ever at WrestleMania.
Who, Kurt Angle?
No, Randy, if he won it, the Royal Rumble.
Oh, well, that would have been like SmackDown when SmackDown first came out, right? SmackDown or Raw versus SmackDown, 2006.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, that could have worked. That could have worked.
They never faced each other before, and they never had
their
team before yet. That could have been a great starting point. Him going, yeah. And then Rated RKO would have been created and all that shit.
Yeah, then it would have segued to there. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Tina, that's why you're good at what you do.
Yeah.
He
but
said,
anyway,
yeah.
Man, we have 9 minutes left. Let's talk about one more thing, and then we'll head off the air. So let's all see.
Right.
Well, we all know that Saudi Arabia will have another pay-per-view, you know.
They do.
It's bound to happen. We do?
Oh, okay. I didn't know if they'd announced it or something.
No, but we do. We know they're going to have another pay-per-view, whatever it is.
Well, I think so because they had a deal. They have a deal right now, right? There's supposed to be like three to something shows.
Yeah.
Because Australia is supposed to get another show or two.
Yeah, that gives the question. We all know probably it's going to be the greatest Royal Rumble. But the question is this. Who do you think is going to win the 50-man Greatest Royal Rumble this year, if there is the Greatest Royal Rumble?
If there is?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Who would need it right now?
And
who won it last year?
Braun Strowman.
Braun Strowman, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't win it this year. As I was thinking the same thing, but I was like, he did win it last year.
And do you think they're going to include NXT UK or NXT or 205 Live wrestlers in this?
I would think so. Only because, I mean, you're going to have to fill the 50-man slot. And you can't fill the 50-man slot with other people that you've just seen in other matches. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would say you take about, let's say there's 50. You probably have a roster of 50 on Raw and SmackDown alone. So that would work.
Yeah.
But you're going to have, you know, if it's the Greatest Royal Rumble, you're going to have another probably six matches, we'll say that. So you're going to have to take at least 10 people out of each roster. So with those 10 people, let's say 10 to 15 or 15 to 20 would have to be a mixture of NXT, UK, and 205. And it could be 5 and 5 and 5, you know.
I see the winner being Drew McIntyre.
Hey, you know what? That could work. That could work because Drew needs another. Look, Drew is on fire. They need to find something for him fast before he gets. Because look, we're in this day and age where people forget about people real quick, you know, real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Daniel Bryan, his return, dude. When he was the Yes Man, it was the Yes Movement. It was a big thing. When his return came out, it came out flat.
Yeah.
When who else could just return? Dean Ambrose, it came down flat.
Yeah.
You know, it's because it's just the day and age that we're at, man. We just got so much content. It's hard not
Braun
to
Strowman.
Lose track.
Braun Strowman's return.
Yeah, and it's flat. Like, what, they haven't done shit with him, and he was on a fucking run, a big
run.
But
he's a novelty act now.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman.
Do you ever see him winning the title?
No.
Well, I could see him winning the title. Maybe he's not in the Royal Rumble. If they were to do that, I could see him winning the title in a match like that.
At least he could say he won the Raw's tag titles with a little kid in his career. At least we can say that.
Yeah, I think they got to give him more, though.
Yeah.
And you can still bring him back, dude. He still has some movement. Look, I think that would be a great event for him to win that, because let's just say it's just a full circle. He won the Royal Rumble there, and then he wins the title there. You know, full circle. If they were to do an event, let's just say. Here's we'll talk about the land of wrestling, if that's okay with you. Have you seen the Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega interaction for the AEW?
Yeah, I saw it. Kenny Omega is the new executive producer for AEW.
Yeah, but did you see the little physicality?
Yeah.
Man,
yeah, Omega,
I'm excited.
Omega Jericho 3.
Yeah. Dude, this is going to be, it's like Terminator trilogy.
Is Jericho still the IWGP Intercontinental Champion?
No, neither is Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega's not the champion either.
Oh.
They all three of them had titles. Kenny Omega, Jericho, and Cody Rhodes. And then they all lost him. That night, I believe. And the reason why was because they were doing this AEW thing. Like, right after that, the AEW announcement happened.
Yeah.
You know who I would like to see in AEW? David Arquette, bro. David Arquette.
Well, yeah. And this time, he's not a joke because he actually has wrestling experience.
Yeah, and you know who I would like to see in there, too? Stephen Amell, or whatever his name is.
The Arrow guy?
The Arrow, yeah, he's been doing good on the spots, dude.
Yeah.
I could see Macaulay Culkin getting in there, man. Look, I listened to his podcast too, The Bunny Ears. And that dude loves wrestling. He was in Radio Row, what they call Radio Row in the WrestleMania or pay per view events when they do the podcast. He's a fan of wrestling. So he's done some little appearances too, and like he was in Bar Wrestling. Bar Wrestling is a big thing with Joey Ryan, I believe. Dude, AEW is a really great way. Like, I'm really excited for this landscape. Like now, like AEW, I think is gonna ignite a fire in this company shit, bro. Because they don't just have anybody. This really is like a WCW resurgence. You know what I mean? But it's a mixture of ECW and WCW, and these guys know what they're doing, and they're there for the people. They're not. Here's the problem with WCW. The main stars were the ones that had the creative control, and everybody else kind of just did what they had to do for the money. Here, no. They all have creative control, and they're all looking out for each other. Nobody's trying to think they're bigger than the other. You know what I mean? They're doing this because they want to give that chance to everybody. Jericho doesn't think he's better than everybody. He'll put the dudes over. He just lost his championship. You know what I mean? He'll put him over. He doesn't care. He's a good brother. They're all good brothers. And I can see this company, like, really doing something because they're all going to have each other's back. They're all looking for the product. That's what it is. It's not money this, money that, because, look, the money's already being made regardless. You know what I mean? It's not about the money for these guys. It's about the passion for wrestling, and I think, man, it's – and what's going to make it so good is that they don't have so much content out there that their main focus is just their pay-per-views and the little shows that they're going to do if they were to do them, you know? Not like the WWE – you got a creative team for every fucking show. You got somebody working the network. You got somebody doing 205, somebody doing NXT, somebody doing the UK, somebody, you know, now you got these different divisions. You got Raw, you got SmackDown. Every pay-per-view that they do now, there's like a pay-per-view every 2-3 weeks. It's a lot of creativeness. And you don't want to be watching 205 and be like, oh, didn't they just do that in Raw? You know? And people notice that.
Yeah, we're running out of time. But, yeah, you're absolutely right, Bill. All right, everybody, we're running out of time. Join us next Saturday when we talk more stuff about what-the-fuck moments, what-if scenarios, and missed booking opportunities. Remember, check out Sunday with Greatest Talk Show, Monday Night Fallout, Tuesdays, Facing Tuesdays with Hollywood TP, Fatal 4A Radio, with me, Batman, Joe Bates, and Minister Sinister, Rankin Fridays with Joe Bates, and of course me, Christian, and Batman for Radio Renegades. So long, everybody. Join us next Saturday. Peace out.
Woo!